Welcome to the Just Don't Lose the Money podcast with Sam Lang, John Conley, and Ryan Marston of Rubino & Lang Wealth Partners. For more than two decades, they have been helping the people of Boston prepare for a comfortable retirement, always following their guiding principles. Rule number one, just don't lose the money. And rule number two, don't forget about rule number one. Now, just don't lose the money.
Hi, this is Sam Lang. Thanks for joining us. Let's get started.
I think we all wish we had a friend who was an attorney, and we have that today. You do.
We do.
I do. And that is Attorney Phil Amoreau.
The good kind of attorney. You know,
exactly.
Not the kind that gets you out of jail, but the good kind of attorney.
Yeah. I'm the nice attorney.
You're the nice attorney. Hey, Phil, how are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me here,
Sam. Of course, always a pleasure. Always great to have you here with the show. And, you know, as you and I sort of joined hips maybe 3-4 years ago, in preparation for my original partner, Rich Rubino's retirement, the attorney, the arm that dealt with the estate planning, I say, hey, look, you know, things aren't going to change when Rich retires. People are still going to need to redo their wills and have trusts and protect their house and avoid nursing home and probate and all that stuff. So that's when you and I got together. You know, we've been doing some workshops together and having a lot of fun educating the greater Boston area about how to, you know, I guess at the end of the day, follow our guiding principles. Rule number one, just don't lose the money. And Phil, rule number two, what is that?
Don't forget rule number one.
You said that pretty well. I like that. And what we do from time to time is we take surveys. So if you follow our Facebook, you can always write in questions. But in the last poll, we asked 50 radio listeners regarding their estate planning concerns. So we have four common questions and, more importantly, misconceptions that, Phil, if it's okay with you, I'd like to ask you those and you can clear up some any confusion.
Love to.
Let's do it. Let's ready to go. So the first one is, I want to protect my house from a nursing home for my kids. So somebody said I should just give my house away to my children now.
That is a huge misconception.
Okay. So why is that?
We never want to give our house away. And there's a number of reasons. So one, which we all kind of hear of, you give your house away and what happens? Your children can ask you to leave. So,
and that's not a good situation.
You've heard about that. Not that it would happen, but yes, if there's some friction with you and your child, it's your child's house now. You know, they can ask you
to
go.
Listen, it happens time and time. We had a situation, about 3 years ago,
yes.
I think it was. Not based on our recommendations, but somebody came to us and said, look, I live in Revere. We're like second generation. My son's from Revere, and he's gonna have this house anyhow. It's a two family. So, what did they do? They gave it away to the son, but then the son died.
Correct.
And the son's will said, give everything to my wife.
So now the daughter-in-law owns their house.
She asked the parents who was living down in the basement to leave.
Yes, and the parents have no basically ability to get back into that house or get their house back.
They came to us and said, can you fix this? And unfortunately, the answer was no.
No, they did it of their own volition. They did it knowingly, and that's the ramifications of doing something like that. So there's one, you could be asked to leave. Two, the children do get it. Well, how much did they pay for it?
Nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. Zero. So when they sell it, the whole thing's a gain, and they're going to lose some 30%. So if you have a $700,000 house, you're going to lose $210,000 in capital gains taxes.
Goodness. What happens if they don't give it away?
If they don't, what do you mean by they don't give it away?
Well, they do it the right way.
If they do it the right way. So generally what we do is we do what we call a trust. And a lot of people think that I don't have enough money to do a trust. I'm not rich. I don't need a trust. Mm. That's not what you do a trust for. A trust is basically done so that you can control things while you're alive and even after you pass away. So when we do a trust for the house, we put the house in the trust. And we could have many, many different trusts that do different things. So we're going to look at what you want to accomplish.
Keep it basic. So if you did that.
So we're going to put it in the trust.
Yep.
Once it's in the trust, basically the person passes away, they get a stepped up cost basis, which means essentially they're not going to pay those capital
gains. So same example, if they sell the house for $700,000, the house was put in the trust, parents die, kid get the son or the daughter inherits the house, they sell it for $700,000.
Zero capital gains.
Zero capital gains. Okay.
So it's a great thing.
I like that.
It also passes free of probate. Mm. So generally when you pass away, it's in the trust, the trustee is still managing it, and the trustee basically conveys it to your beneficiaries. It's that easy.
That easy. Okay. I like that. And, you know, in our book, Just Don't Lose the Money, we actually talk about estate planning very specifically in chapters 10 and chapters 11. We talk about just traditional estate planning, what's the difference between a will, why should you have a trust. And then money tip number 14 talks about how to avoid probate. So if you want a copy of our book, we would love to share that with you. It's my gift to you, so no strings attached. If you can walk away, read it, and to have some takeaways on how to implement some of those strategies and suggestions, fantastic. If you want to help, you want to have a discussion, we welcome that opportunity as well. Yours simply by calling 617-440-9365. Again, it's Just Don't Lose the Money, our book, which is our gift to you today, 617-440-9365. Tell the operator, you got to give them your email, some basic information, and we'll get that right out to you. Next question or misconception. I have a will that says my estate will go to my spouse, then to my kids. So I guess I'm all set.
So that is another huge misconception.
I knew you were going to say that.
All right. So what is a will? What does a will do? A will generally allows you to hire a manager to manage your estate when you pass away, and you get to say, this is who gets my stuff. So a lot of people think when they do a will, they no longer have to go through probate. Actually, you still have to go through probate with a will. It just allows you to say who's going to get your stuff and who's going to manage it.
So you still have to go through the process, but rather than the court saying it's going to go to he and she, if you put it in a will and it says it's going to go to, you know, John and Sally, then it'll go to John and Sally. But it still has to go through that probate process.
That's right. So whether you have a will or you don't have a will, you're going through probate. A lot of people think also, oh, I have a will. If I go to a nursing home, I'm protected.
Yeah.
Not the case.
Not the case.
All right. So generally, again, the will only allows you to basically get the manager of your estate and give it to whom you want. If you don't have it, the state says this is who's getting it. And also, basically, you're taking it through that whole court action, the probate case, in order to get things done.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that a little deeper. So explain in layman's terms, what is probate?
All right, so probate is I have to go to the probate court, file an action, get a manager appointed, and that manager gives your belongings to whom you said should get it in your will. Now, the probate court, what is actually probate? Probate is generally just clearing title to assets. So, Sam, you have a bank account.
Yep.
Your wife can't go into it because it's just in your
name. Just my name, okay.
Your kids can't go in. I can't go in. All right. Now, if you pass away, the only person, you, that could get in that account is gone.
That's right.
So we have a title problem. Now, I have to go to the court, appoint that manager, and the court says the manager can go into that account now and give it to whom you should get it in your will.
Got it. Same thing with the house.
Same thing with the house. You're the only one that can sign the deed to sell it.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds complicated, but more importantly, I think, and you and I, I'm playing sort of make it the duns, but I already know this.
Right.
It's time consuming.
And expensive.
And expensive.
Because you're paying that lawyer hourly, which you don't want to do. None of us want to do that.
You don't want to get paid, Phil?
Well, I do, but you don't want to do it if you can avoid it.
So to that point, I think it is a great example of why you should have a trust, and with very little effort, you can avoid probate. My mom passed away a couple years ago. She was 95 years old. They didn't have a lot. You know, my father died maybe 7-8 years ago, left the house to my mother. You were able to help clean that up with a new deed. They had a little bit of money, an IRA, and a house. My mother didn't drive, so we didn't have like sort of, you know, big personal belongings like a car. So I came to you when my mother passed 2 years ago in May. We were able to sell the house. We were able to fix the house up, get it ready for sale in June, and sold it by July. I mean, it happened that quickly because we didn't have to go through probate. We didn't have to wait. It was owned in trust. And I was able to divvy up the estate to my sisters and to my siblings within probably 4 months of my mother's death.
So let's just answer the question why that was so easy.
Okay.
The reason why it was so easy, with a trust, we have a trustee. So we already have the manager appointed. And that manager can go ahead right away and start to do all the things you did. You wanted to fix up the house. You were able to fix it up. You wanted to sell it. You were able to sell it.
Yes.
So the trust makes it much easier. It does away with the whole probate court issue.
Mm.
So now you have your manager already appointed. So you're able to kind of seamlessly step right in, get things done
Yes.
without that hourly pay to the lawyer.
Folks, it's really that simple. In fact, in chapter 11 of my book, Just Don't Lose the Money, it's entitled, also Don't Lose the Money When You Die, How to Avoid Estate and Inheritance Taxes and Related Costs and Problems and How to Avoid Probate. So my gift to you, please don't take this lightly. It's one of the five pillars of a sound retirement plan. We focus in on Sundays so much about money and money and more money. We sometimes forget the other important component, which is to have a true, sound, proven, tested retirement plan. It has to include that estate planning piece. So for your copy, complimentary from me to you, of my book, Just Don't Lose the Money, 617-440-9365. Again, that number is 617-440-9365. Tell the operator you want a copy of my book, Just Don't Lose the Money. Give her your email, very important, some basic information, and we'll get that right out to you. So more questions, Phil. You up for it?
I'm up for it. Let's go.
I'm doing too much talking. I'm going to let you talk a little bit. My house is in a revocable trust, so I'm protected if I or my wife go into a nursing home. Phil, is that true?
Another huge misconception.
Okay.
I have more people that come into my office and say, I did the trust. I'm protected.
I'm all set.
You know, and the issue is with a revocable trust, because most of the time you're the trustee, you're the beneficiary, you can put things in, take it out. Medicaid says, reach in, take it out, pay it all to the nursing home.
So 10 years ago, I go to a lawyer. I say, hey, you know what? The will that I did when I first got married and had my first kid is 30 years old. Now I'm, 68. I just retired from ABC Corporation a few years back, and I want to update my estate planning. Chances are they're going to probably put your house into a revocable trust.
That's right.
To avoid probate, to do all those things.
Right. Which is a good thing, except it does not protect you from a nursing home. So that's
because they think trusts are all created equal.
They do. And so with trust, there's many different trusts that do many different things.
Okay.
So when someone comes in, we always have to find out what their goals are, what they want to accomplish, and then we're going to put them in the right trust to accomplish those goals. Now, at the time they did that, this person probably didn't put them in the proper trust, or the trust may have been proper at the time, but now their needs have changed as they've gotten older, so they need a new type of trust.
Maybe they got older, maybe they've seen around them their friends, relatives going to a nursing home, people losing their houses, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, I don't want that to happen to me.
Oh, they're like, oh my God, if that happens, look what happens. Right. So they add them, then they come in and they say, well, I'm all set, right? And I have to say no. So if there was one perfect trust that accomplished everything, everyone would be my clients, because I could do a trust for everyone that wanted.
You don't have that?
I don't. If I could, I would.
Yeah, okay, got it.
But so generally when you come in, if they're looking, they have to do a specific trust. It's called the Nursing Home Protection Trust to protect their assets from the nursing homes. Those have to be done well in advance. So we always want to have, they have to be done 5 years in advance. Mm-hmm. And they have to be done properly. So if it's not done properly, it's not going to work.
Got it.
All right. And the nice thing about this nursing home protection trust is not only does it protect you from the nursing home, but it's going to do everything that revocable trust does. Mm-hmm. It's going to avoid probate. It's going to keep your assets private, your estate private.
It could either minimize or completely eliminate estate tax.
It can.
Yeah, okay.
So we can kind of get a lot done with that. There's even creditor protection associated.
I like that.
So if mom and dad got sued, they can't go after the trust assets. If some of the children get divorced, they can't go after those assets.
Like that too, yeah.
So it's a nice thing. Also, people are always very nervous, and they've always heard when they do these trusts, they lose control of their assets.
They can't sell the house if they want to.
I'm stuck. It's not mine anymore. That's not the case.
2 weeks ago, we had a client call us. They live in Lexington, husband and wife, nice, nice couple. When they did it, they were probably in their early 80s. Now they're in their mid 80s, and they called and they said, look, you know, house is too big, too much. Don't want to deal with it. Winter was horrible. We want to move to Brooksby Village. And
They thought
they couldn't do anything, but to their surprise, not to their surprise, we just reminded them, hey, this is how we set it up. They came in, and we were able to have the trustees sell the house, and the money stayed in, and whatever money they needed to put down for Brooksby Village, we were able to do that as well.
Yes. So the nice thing is, when we do these trusts, we can go ahead and sell property within the trust and buy property within the trust, and it's still protected after the 5 years.
So speak to that a little bit.
So generally what will happen is, like in with our client,
yep,
they wanted to sell. So we were able to sell it. The trustee sells the property, and we basically put the deposit down on Brooksby in the name of the trust, so it's still protected.
Or if they wanted to downsize, they go from a big four-bedroom colonial to a two-bedroom condo.
Yeah,
they can do the same thing.
And that the beautiful thing is, within the trust, they sell the big house, which all the boomers are doing. They sell the house, they go down. So they only may spend half the money on the new house, and then the other half is in the trust.
So both the house and the sort of the balance of the money that they didn't spend to buy the second house, it's still both protected.
It's in the trust, still protected, which is beautiful. And then we can get things out of these trusts. So if we needed money out of the trust, we can still get it out.
Yes.
So we have the best of both worlds. We have the uniqueness of protecting the asset, plus we have a liberal trust able to kind of work with us and continue to do everything that everyone wants to do with their money.
Guys, if you're listening, it sounds complicated. And if I was listening for the first time, I'd probably have a big headache right now. But the reality is we can sort of take all those misconceptions out of the equation for you. It is not that difficult. Mike, you say this all the time, like in baseball, mm-hmm. to be a professional baseball, you got to do this and train and do that. But at the end of the day, you throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball.
Yeah.
What we do here at the end of the day is we help you enjoy your retirement. We encourage you to spend your money. But I think it's fair to say most people, if not all people, if there's something left over and they have a family, they want to protect that for the family. So if I can do something today to make it easy for them tomorrow, let's do that. And then I'd say every person that we meet, they want to protect what they have for themselves. Maybe they're married. If you have a house and you end up going into a nursing home, do you want your spouse on the street? Of course not. So there are steps that we can help you take to make sure that we have the highest probability of success in retirement. And one of the things that we would encourage you to do, if you have a question, like normal human beings, we might look scary, but we're not. We will help you to and through retirement as best as we can. And again, as a reminder, we have a great book, Just Don't Lose the Money. And in chapters 10 and 11, we talk about estate planning and then as well as nursing home planning. It's complimentary. 617-440-9365. Back to the last question, Phil, if you would. I've heard people talk about a pre-plan. What in the world is a pre-plan?
So generally, the pre-plan is we plan ahead, all right, to get basically things safe so that if you go to a nursing home, you generally will not lose your assets.
So it's the opposite of crisis planning. Instead of doing it the last minute, you're doing it in advance.
People come into my office all the time. They say, oh my God, my husband, my wife, my father, my mother just went into a nursing home. It's $16,000 a month. We're going to lose everything.
That doesn't take long.
That's not the conversation you want to have.
Right, exactly.
The conversation you want to have with me is, Phil, listen, something just happened. We're all set. Yeah, we're all set. All right, things are safe. They're in the trust. Everything's good.
I mean, you can help people in a crisis situation, but certainly not nearly as efficient and as well as you could do in advance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the big thing with pre-planning is, so when do you need to do the pre-planning?
Good question.
You need to do the pre-planning when you're healthy, you feel good, you don't want to do it, you have 100 other things that you want to do and 100 other things you want to spend money on. That's when you need to do the pre-plan.
Yeah.
So generally speaking, people always kind of put it off and then they come into the office for that conversation. Oh my God, can you save it? Like I said, you want to get it done now before you have that conversation and have the good conversation.
Yeah, if you're in the retirement red zone, which is the 10 years before retirement and the first 10 years of your healthy, enjoyable retirement years, those are the years to do not only a pre-plan, but to make sure that you're not going to run out of money. We do this all the time, and we hear the same things over and over and over. You know, people are struggling, and they're worried about the same things like every other retiree is worried about. Am I going to have enough money to last my entire life? What happens if I run out of money? What happens if the market goes up? What happens if it goes down? Folks, if any of those questions are haunting you and keeping you up at night, I encourage you to call me Let's set up a consultation. Let's take a look at your situation and what you can do. Or get my book, Just Don't Lose the Money. And the purpose of this book is not only to educate you, but to give you solutions and give you answers that, at the end of the day, will help you make your life easier with added peace of mind. If you want the book, Just Don't Lose the Money, you can click on an icon and boom, it's that easy to get. RLWealthEducates.com. I want to encourage you to continue educating yourself when it comes to this retirement planning, this estate planning stuff. And you can do it a little bit better, a little bit easier by following our guiding principles. Rule number one, just don't lose the money. And Phil, rule number two?
Don't forget rule number one.
You say that pretty good. Oh. Nice job, Phil.
Thank you.
This is Sam. Hey, thanks for listening. Join us next time for more of Just Don't Lose the Money podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Just Don't Lose the Money podcast. For more information, to schedule a consultation or upcoming retirement planning event and radio showtimes, go to rlwealtheducates.com. John Conley and Ryan Marston are investment advisor representatives of Retirement Wealth Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any financial vehicle. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments can fluctuate, and when redeemed, may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Investment financial professionals are not licensed in all 50 states. To find out if John Conley, Ryan Marston, or Sam Lang are licensed in your state, please call 617-630-8787. Rubino and Lang Wealth Partners are not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurance company. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance products and annuity products offered through RNL Insurance Agency, Massachusetts Insurance License Number 1783398.